My name is John Erling, and today's date is June 22nd, 2011. Muzan, if you will state your full name, please, your date of birth, and your present age.
My full name is Marvin Muzan Biggs, Jr. I was born January 2nd, 1941, in Carthage, Texas. I'm 70.
Tell us where we're recording this interview.
This is in my office at the Boston Avenue United Methodist Church, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You were born in Carthage, Texas.
Yes.
You know the name of the hospital you were born in there? Is it still there?
No, there was no hospital. It actually was in a doctor's clinic, a couple of beds where women could birth babies, but there was no hospital. Dr. Hooker was the guy's name. I've heard my mother mention Dr. Hooker. That's all I really know about him.
Let's talk about your mother. Your mother's name and where she was from, where she grew up.
My mother's name was unusual. It was Tula, T-U-L-A, Hightower. She was born in San Augustine, Texas, which is probably 60 miles south of Carthage, where I was born. But her family had moved when she was a child up to Carthage, Texas. They were farmers, in fact, sharecroppers, back in the Great Depression days. And she was the baby of a very large family.
Describe her for us.
My mother was, of course, wonderful to me. She graduated high school, was married to my father shortly thereafter. 2 years later, I was born. 11 months later, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor and World War II was on. My father was not drafted into the war until 1943. I don't remember that part, of course, but my father worked for a little natural gas company. We lived in a company house 6 miles outside of Carthage, Texas, at a big compressor station. But when my father was drafted, the company made us move out of the house, and we had to go live with her parents, where they were sharecroppers, right on the edge of a large farm. They worked very, very hard to get half of what they produced. It was an old farmhouse with no electricity, no running water, no natural gas, not even propane, butane, wood-burning stove, fireplace. Horribly hot in the summer and bitterly cold in the wintertime is what I remember as a child. My mother had never really been brought up in the church. Her family were good, honest, hardworking people, but not church people. My little sister had been born 2 years after I was, so she had two little ones when my dad was shipped off to Germany. I've heard her tell this story. She decided she really needed spiritual help and started taking us to a nearby church. I remember her telling that after that first Sunday night when she was tucking me into bed, I said, "Aren't we going to pray?" And she said, "What?" And I said, "Pray. They said this morning we should pray before we sleep." And she said, you know, in her own heart, "I didn't know how to pray. Nobody had ever taught me how to pray. But I said in my deepest heart, God, if you will help me say something fairly intelligent in front of this three-year-old, I will learn how to pray." So my mother became a wonderful Christian, very interested in her children. And of course, my father, as soon as he was back from the war, she was a stay-at-home mom all the years I was growing up, but became very involved in PTA, all things related to the church, United Methodist Women, back when it was called the Women's Society of Christian Service. Went to those kinds of meetings. We were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night prayer meeting. She really gave everything to her family. Had a little brother born later, so three of us growing up. She had this great dream that her children would go to college. Both she and my dad had this dream, and I remember early memories of her tucking me into bed at night, saying a prayer with me, but saying, "When you get to SMU." She had never seen SMU. She knew it was Methodist, and it was big, and as far as she was concerned, that meant it was good. It's big and Methodist. It's got to be good. And I, my sister and brother, are all SMU grads, and both of my sons are SMU grads now.
Your brother and sister, their names?
My sister's name is Jacqueline. She, after college, met and married a young Texas Aggie engineer named Manuel Rodriguez. They've been married all these many years, have two sons who are also Aggie graduates now. My sister was a second grade school teacher all of her working years. My brother's name is Warren Thomas Biggs. He was just the right age to be drafted into the Vietnam War, served with distinction in Vietnam, came back and became a Dallas police officer. After 8 years, decided he couldn't make a living as a policeman. He had gotten married by that time, and he and his wife had two little boys. So we went back to SMU, took advanced studies in banking, went back to our hometown, and has been president of a bank in our hometown all these many years.
Your mother, didn't she write a news article for the Watchman?
She did, yes.
The Panola Watchman?
I didn't know you knew that. Yes, my mother was asked at one time to write a devotional for Church Women United there in Carthage. Someone said, oh, that is so good, that's so good. You think we could put that in the Panola Watchman? It was a little weekly paper. She said, well, okay, sure. So they ran her devotional in the paper, and the next week, the little paper was flooded with calls saying, why don't you have her write something else? And she wrote a weekly column for 25 years. Yeah, she did. First things first, she called it.
And then she took up jogging late in life, actually.
She did. After my brother, the youngest of the three, was out and on his own, she actually went to work at an insurance office there in town and became a physical fitness buff herself and was a jogger for many years. In her 50s, maybe early 60s, I guess, still was running in 5-kilometer races there in our hometown. When she got to the point she couldn't run anymore, she rode a recumbent bike on into her 70s.
Well, that's remarkable. And then it's very remarkable from her lack of knowledge of the church to become a leader in the church,
right,
is what she did. And you as a young boy, obviously watching all this.
Yes.
She had to have a tremendous influence on your life. Isn't there a story about when she would tuck you in at night and she would tell you you were a special child?
Yes, at the same time that she would, you know, just mention college, and I was a small child. I had no idea what SMU was at that point. But she would also tell me, there's something special about you. I just have this feeling that there's something very special about you, and one day God will help you figure out what that is. I didn't know till years later she did the same thing to my sister, and when our little brother came along, she did the same thing to him. And again, it didn't mean that we all had to be clergy. My sister taught school in the public schools down at the Manned Space Center for almost 30 years, and my brother's been a bank president for more than 30 years.
It pointed out the importance of parents telling our children how important they are.
Yes, and that there's a special place for you. I read in the National Education Association Journal years ago that a child who lives with praise will develop a sense of destiny. And I think I and my sister and brother developed a sense of destiny that we had been sent to this time and this place to do something significant.
Yeah. Then your father and his full name.
My father's full name was Marvin Muzan Big Sr. He was named for two Methodist bishops. My grandparents had heard two bishops preach in their lifetimes, and one was old Bishop Enoch Marvin. One was a French-American named Edwin Dubose Muzan. They named my father the surnames of those two bishops. He was their only son. My father never felt called to be a minister, but I did feel called when I was a senior in high school, you know. So the names came from two distinguished bishops of the Methodist Church.
Did you grow up using Muzan or Marvin?
I did, Muzan.
Was that difficult for you as a youngster to name right?
Not really. There was a cartoon character back there named Marvin, and he was a nerdy little kid. I didn't want to be Marvin. Years later, I met a very distinguished lawyer in Houston who was with the biggest law firm in town, a senior partner named Marvin Colley, and I decided that was not a bad name at all. But Muzan was the name I went by. And people say, but what do they call you? They call me Muzan. You know, if your parents keep calling you Muzan, other people tend to call you Muzan as well.
Right. Yeah. Your father, what did he do for a living?
My father did not finish high school. He had five sisters. He was the only son, as I'd mentioned. The family had a little more than my mother's people, but not much. They did own their own farm. My grandfather was older than my grandmother and was sort of sickly his last years. And my dad really felt in that Great Depression, the 1930s I'm talking about, that he just had to drop out of school and keep the farm going to support his mother and five sisters. He got a job with this little natural gas company there in Carthage and worked for them 43 years. He started what they used to call a roustabout, which meant a shovel. He was digging ditches, doing whatever they needed doing. But by hard work and loyalty to the company, he eventually was the superintendent of their East Texas operations there. It wasn't a huge paying job, but it was a job with some responsibility, and my father became a loved person in the community, served on the hospital board. Once they had a hospital, did a lot of significant things himself. with the limited background that he had had growing up. He wanted very much for all of us to be college graduates. He and my mother both knew what education could do, and of course it has done that for us. And I have two sons, my sister has two sons, my brother two sons, and all six of them college graduates doing wonderfully well. They were pallbearers when my father died, pallbearers when my mother died.